Will you join me in a word of prayer this morning before we get into our message? Father, at this time, we're reminded to be thankful, Lord. And yet sometimes it's hard for us to be thankful. There's so much happening in so many of our lives, Lord, that can distract us, throw us off. And Lord, so often we who live in a broken world can get thrown off course or get sidetracked. So Lord, I just pray that you fill us with you. You speak to us this morning, that your will and your word be made known to us. And ultimately, Lord, that we may have thankful hearts. For we're told in Scripture that this is your will for us. It is in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. Well, if you haven't noticed by now, we are going to be having a holiday this week. Thanksgiving. Hard to believe it's here already, isn't it? It's been a pretty quick year, I think. Johnny Carson once said, "Thanksgiving is an emotional holiday. People travel thousands of miles to be with people they only see once a year, and then they discover that once a year is way too often." But despite the fact that once a year is way too often in many cases, despite the fact that if you're traveling to see family, you're likely going to deal once again with Cousin Jerry pushing your political buttons and probably Jane, you know, your sister Jane bringing up the car that you totaled in 1987. And 37 or 38 six-year-olds, and many of these people come from a side of the family you still haven't determined. You know, we've all been there. Despite all this, it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day, and you know you're looking forward to it. Here's the thing. Behind this once-a-year turkey and diet sacrifice with family, and people that you're not sure are family, you want to see it in writing somewhere, there's actually an expression at the root of this whole holiday that couldn't be more biblical. Give thanks. Give thanks. See, no matter what our circumstances are, saying one little word, thanks, it's truly the word of God, truly the will of God. This comes from our scripture this morning. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I've just paraphrased the scripture a bit, but let's read it together. Let's read the actual scripture together. It says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Let's read that one more time. Let's read that together. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So what's interesting is we can find a reason to be thankful no matter what's going on in our families, no matter what issues we're dealing with. In the warmth of the house in which we've traveled in fast vehicles to share delicious dishes together, there's a lot there to be thankful for. What's interesting is that we can find a reason to be thankful, though we may have taken some time from work, a day off work from a vacation that's maybe draining us or leaving us feeling less than satisfied. What's interesting is that we can find a reason to be thankful even though we may not be able to take a day off from this vocation or even be able to attend a gathering like we would prefer in our minds. No matter our circumstance, on this Thursday of the week, on just the Thursday of this week, which just happens to be Thanksgiving Day in America, we are instructed by Paul that God's will for us in Christ Jesus is to be thankful. You notice Paul didn't say, "In some things give thanks." That's rough. Paul didn't say, when you get a big vacation from work, to be thankful, to give thanks. Paul didn't say, when you're able to be with your family, give thanks. Paul didn't even say, when you're able to make those ends meet, give thanks. The Bible says in all circumstances. That's not easy. Chuck Smith notes that there are definitely a few places in Scripture in which we are told we can know what God's will for us happens to be. This verse is one of them, because it comes right out and tells us so. We sort of like to pick and choose, though, don't we? We're guilty of it. We like to pick and choose what we're thankful for. You know, if somebody showed up with an extra tray of deviled eggs, that's my favorite. That's my favorite. Besides the pecan pie, hint, hint, just throwing that out there. Deviled eggs is pretty close. There are other things, though, that we like to be complaining about. We're not so thankful for. You know, like when somebody dumps the aforementioned tray of deviled eggs. That's happened to me. It's happened to me. I won't tell you anymore, but I've been there. It's almost as bad as the pecan pie in your face, but the Greek text, it doesn't allow us to leave anything out. We're told that everything means everything, and thanks means thanks. When we happen to be in what we would consider the ideal situation to be in, we should say thanks. When we're in a less than desirable situation, we should also say thanks. So often it's just a matter of perspective, isn't it? There's a story told about a man from years past in Budapest who goes to the rabbi and he complains. He goes to the rabbi and he says, "Life is unbearable. There are 9 of us living in one room. What can I do?" The rabbi answers, "Take your goat into the room with you." Well, the man is taken aback by the suggestion and he quarrels with him about it, but the rabbi insists, "Do as I say and come back in a week." So a week later, the man comes back and he's looking more distraught than before. "We can't stand it," he tells the rabbi. "The goat is filthy." The rabbi then tells him, "Go home and let the goat out. Go home and let the goat out and come back in a week." So the man returns in a week and he's got a radiant smile on his face. The rabbi asks him, "Well, how are things?" The man replies, Oh, Rabbi, life is wonderful. We enjoy every moment of it now that there's no goat in that room, only the 9 of us." Now, this example might be a little extreme, but isn't so much of our thankfulness or lack of thankfulness just a matter of perspective? Where we've been this week. It's no wonder that Scripture's adamant about the proper perspective time and time again. Paul writes to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." He writes in Colossians 4, 2, he's writing the same thing he's saying to all these churches, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." So maybe there's a clue in these couple of verses regarding how we can handle life even when life doesn't feel like thanksgiving to us. Perhaps it's putting ourselves thankfully in what God is doing. The cartoon character Charlie Brown once said to his sister Sally, "Well, we've got another holiday to worry about. It seems Thanksgiving Day is upon us." Sally says back, "I haven't even finished eating all of my Halloween candy." We can be thankful even when it doesn't feel like it's the right time for it yet. We can take comfort in knowing that God's outside the time box. We're in it, He's outside of it. What seems inconvenient for us is actually perfectly convenient from the standpoint of eternity. Continue steadfastly in prayer because we believe in a God that allows what He allows because He is sovereign and we are not. Be thankful, for this is the nature of our God. When the transmission goes out on the car, when we're able to secure the new car. You know, what's interesting is we can often recognize one of these two extremes. It's obvious to it. But how often do we stop and think of thanking God just because we made it from point A to point B and nothing happened to the car and we got right where we were supposed to be in the same vehicle we left with? Something tells me that if we stop to thank God just a little bit more when things go right, which is probably a whole lot more out of our day than we realize, our situations may not seem quite so bad when things go wrong. God gets us from point A to point B an awful lot, doesn't He? He sustains us. We can give thanks in all circumstances. It's interesting, one commentary offers that because of the Thanksgiving holiday, we tend to focus our time and our attention upon giving thanks for the blessings of the Lord that day, but when we dig deeper into the Greek word meaning giving thanks, I've been once again advised by my wife not to try to pronounce it. I'm going to honor those wishes. Anyway, in this Greek word, we see that it goes much deeper than that. It's a compound word of two other Greek words, one meaning to do well or to prosper, and then the other to give freely or to forgive. Does this sound familiar? The root of this word meaning grace, meaning grace. When we look literally at the words in translation, we can see that giving thanks to God for who He is, this is an important part of our identity in Christ. Romans, the first chapter, verse 21, talks in contrast, to contrast this, about those who are not following the Lord. Paul writes, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." So, being God's people means we, knowing who we are in relationship to who God is, will be thankful people. Not just for a few moments on Thanksgiving Day, but every day. For this is the will of God, our text says. Consider the grace. Consider what's given freely to us, the grace of God. The more we consider who God is and who we are, the more we will be thankful for Him. The more we consider what He has given us, His grace, the more then we will naturally want to give back in thankfulness as well. This Greek word having the understanding that our thankfulness is a response to the grace of God. And I find it very interesting. One of my favorite passages probably in the entire New Testament, definitely in the Pauline writings, comes from 2 Corinthians 12. You know, and it's where Paul's talking about this person getting caught up to the third heaven, and he's having these revelations and calling out to God then because of this thorn in the side. And what does God say after he prays? And he prays, and he prays some more. The Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for you." What God has provided to us is sufficient. His grace, the grace of God, it's what we need. The more we've given ourselves over to the sufficiency of God's grace, the more we're going to love Him. The more we're going to say thanks. The more we will be able to give thanks. And this even means in those situations where we otherwise wouldn't have a single thankful bone in our whole body. And we all get there. We all get there. This is a broken world. We all get there. Another familiar scenario is Thanksgiving Day when those Friday sales kick in, right? Or anymore where it seems earlier and earlier in the week. Christian comedian Dan Ruppel has commented, "Last year when Black Friday suddenly and tragically began on Thanksgiving and millions of bargain-loving shoppers left their families in the midst of a feast of gratitude to God for all of His wonderful blessings to save $40 on a flat-screen TV, this revealed so much about what's important in our culture." Now this year, Black Friday is starting at 8 a.m. on Thanksgiving. Can we just erase a holiday from the calendar? The irony is, the devil does not want us to think gratitude. The devil does not want us to think sufficiency. And yet, while some of us are frantic to save big bucks on the latest stuff, we have organizations like Compassion International and World Vision, organizations that report that 840 million people worldwide are chronically undernourished. 26,000 young children die every day all over the world due to poverty, hunger, and some diseases which otherwise could be treated if maybe some other people cared maybe a little less about Black Friday and maybe just a little bit more about Good Friday. Are we thankful for what God has given to us? Or do we just expect more. Compassion like Jesus, willing to give out of what we have, we find in Luke 12, verses 33 and 34. Thankful hearts, a desire to give back. Or are we hoarding? Are we squandering? Because the world is saying mine. The world is saying mine, mine, it's all mine. But the book of James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. We already have what we need. We already have what we need. Without being grateful for what God gives us, though, we become arrogant. We become self-centered. We find ourselves perpetually coveting, wanting more. We focus on what we don't have. But what's the answer? What's the alternate route? We focus on what we do have. We focus on what we do have. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, by the grace of God, we go to give thanks for the grace of God. It's the pattern for life. Not being in a rush to give a black eye or trample with a shopping cart the first guy who gets between us and that Sony Entertainment Center. Do you hear about this happening? And you don't get it, you know? Yeah, sometimes I wonder, is the reasoning just because we've got to have the Sony Entertainment Center for the game next year? I mean, maybe God understands that. What's our focus? Again, Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, I've seen this verse used in some funny places, I think in some questionable context, so I'd like to clear one little thing up about it. The verse is not saying, ask God for that TV because you want it, and he knows you want it, so just pray about it and he'll give it to you. That's not what Paul's saying here. It's saying, put that anxiety you have about the things of this world which might be distracting you from serving the Lord and put it at his feet. It means that thanksgiving accompanies prayer. It must always find a place in our conversations with God. And prayer is the means by which, again, we will find ourselves in submission to him. It's been said that despite all the emotion poured into the book of Psalms, David, quote, began very often with tears, but ended with thanksgiving. Try out the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, I think, has been a lifesaver for me on more than one occasion. There is so much emotion, there is so much weight in the book of Psalms because David has been there. Began very often with tears, but ended with thanksgiving. Maybe the same could be said for the Israelites. The Israelites who were delivered from Pharaoh's army after the crossing of the Red Sea in Exodus 15. You know, and maybe, just maybe, the same could be said for those weary pilgrim settlers in Massachusetts who had lost nearly half of the original 100-plus colonists before, as they say, the very first Thanksgiving holiday celebration in December 1621. But see, those early Israelites and the more recent Americans alike, we've always had a choice. Complain, complain, complain. Or give thanks. Be thankful. We can indeed join the world and in the grumbling and in the complaining and in what they call in some places Turkey Day. Just Turkey Day. But what a shame. We're called to an anointed feast. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If we know Christ Jesus, we know that God is working together everything for the ultimate good. We're not going to see it that way. Time. We're not going to feel it that way at the time. It's not going to hit us that way at the time. But Scripture tells us that God is working together everything for the ultimate good. Romans 8:28. We may not have gratitude for whatever it is we're going through, but we can have gratitude because God sustains us. God sustains us. God pulls us through it. And that includes our holiday. That includes dealing with Cousin Jerry. That includes dealing with whatever else is awaiting us. My prayer is that we give God his proper place at his table of goodness. And maybe Thanksgiving Day can remind us of that. But not just on Thanksgiving Day, every day. There are a whole lot of other days of the year in which we are called to give thanks. And in line with that grace that's given freely to us, that we may give back. May we truly, as Christians, say thanks. Will you pray with me this morning? Lord, you have done so much for us. And Lord, sometimes it's easy for us to forget the price that has been paid, given freely for us on the cross of Calvary. We forget that, Lord, because we live in a world in which we're not being reminded of that. We're being reminded of what we don't have. The things that are passing away. Lord, I just pray that we become servants of thankful hearts, that have thankful hearts, that we may return to you reminded of your grace that we don't deserve. And say thanks. And that attitude may not just be a reminder to us on Thanksgiving Day, but every day of the year. And that your mercy and your grace and your love, that we may want to take that out and take that to the world, Lord, because we all need it. We're all broken. We all suffer. We all need you. And we all need you more and more and more to fill in those places of our lives in which we haven't yet surrendered. And so, Lord, I just pray that those decisions be made, that we give back, that we say thanks. It is in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. And this morning we're going to have a time of invitation to you. And this time of invitation is for anyone that they understand that call, that grace that's given freely. If now's the day that you want to come forward and you want to be immersed into Jesus, begin a new life, come forward. We ask for you to come forward at this time. This is a time that you just want to rededicate yourself to the Lord. Maybe you've gotten off track. Maybe you need a fresh start. Now's the time for you to come forward. Or maybe you just want to put your membership in here at Ferris Church of Christ. You just want to say, I want to worship with this body of believers. I want to make this my church home. Now's the time for you to come forward and do that. And we invite you to do so. As we sing our invitation hymn, it's page 370 in your hymnal, appropriately titled, I'll Live for Him. Please stand and join us in singing.